Big show for you here today. It is our prospect wish casting episode. Justin Boone and I sit down to hand out some dream and yet somewhat still realistic landing spots for the upcoming rookies. We go through running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks, tight ends. Where should these guys land? And how good of an outlook would it be if they landed in these particular spots? We only have a few more hours left to do some dreaming, some wish casting. So we're going to get into that right now. All that and more caught up on today's show. Let's get into it. What's going on, everybody? I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, and it is a hell of a day to talk ball. And joining me to do just that here, as we've arrived. It's draft week. Joining me to talk a little ball. The last time we're going to do it pre-draft, it is our guy, my friend, Justin Boone. Boone, what's going on, buddy?
It is exciting that this is the last time we're going to do this pre-draft, because I said it last week yeah. that I was just ready for the draft, and a whole week of smoke screens and let's just say some ridiculous reports have come out, whether that was pushed by front offices or agents, or we see it every year, right? In the lead up to the draft, the last couple of weeks, every team is trying to manipulate the process and they're trying to use the media to do it. And it's hard to parse through all that stuff and figure out what's real and what's not. We'll talk a little bit about some of it today, but I'm also excited, Harmon, because I feel like this year, more than any other year, I've tried to like rest on my initial evaluations more, because I feel like some of the biggest mistakes I've made in the past when it comes to like the draft process has been when I've done my evaluation and then you have a few months here and everyone's talking and you kind of see the public perception and it kind of changes. And then you go, okay, maybe I'm wrong. I'm really far off on this guy. I better move him. And you move them and then it ends up being wrong. So this year, I'm trying to lean much more. I've done it the last couple of years where I've leaned a little bit more and a little bit more. This year, we are big time on those initial valuations. So let's see. I can't wait to find out if that's right, if that's wrong, how that impacts my process.
I'm very excited. And honestly, Boone, I'm excited for this show because, well, for a variety of different reasons. One, because it is the final pre-draft show. It's essentially our draft preview show here because the draft is coming up in just a few days. I'm excited for that reason. It's our final pre-draft show. But also, you and I haven't really gotten to talk prospects all that much throughout the process because Ray Garvin was on the prospect preview show. Like, I haven't really talked about some of these guys with you since the combine, which feels like a different lifetime ago at this point, because the draft process, as you mentioned, is so long. We had a whole free agency thing that happened since then. So I'm excited for that. I think this is going to be the first time we've really updated each other on some of our prospect thoughts. So that's good. And essentially what we're going to be doing here today, it's one last round of fan fiction, one last round of wish casting. Boone and I are going to, no, don't call it a mock draft, okay, because it's not. We're wish casting these prospects to somewhat realistic dream landing spots here. This is a spot where we think they could go. It is going to, again, be somewhat realistic. We're not going to be like, all right, the Seahawks get Jeremiah Love. Whoa, what a wish casting spot. That's just nonsense. This would be completely irrelevant. So we're going to try to, again, give our real thoughts about these prospects, and we're going to do that for the running backs, the wide receivers, the quarterbacks, and the tight ends here. We're going to keep it somewhat realistic. But as I mentioned many times, this is our final show before the draft because the draft is on Thursday. And yes, you're going to be watching that thing on TV, of course. But what you're also going to be doing is watching us here at Yahoo Sports, because Thursday and Friday night, Yahoo Sports is going to be live with our draft show. It's back once again. It's going to be me, Nate Tice, Charles McDonald, and Charles Robinson. Andrew Siciliano is going to be hosting for night one, day two of the draft as well. Jason Fitz is going to be a part of the program as well. You can follow along with us all night for all the picks. Yahoo Sports YouTube channel, Yahoo Sports Network, or the Yahoo Sports app. Literally no excuse not to watch this show. I will take it as a personal offense if you at least don't have one screen on our live draft show. It was a great time with the guys last year. Honestly, it was a great time the year before that. This will be my third one. I love this night every single year, Thursday, Friday night. It's going to be absolutely electric, so I expect to see all of you there. But with no further ado, let's get to it here. Let's start wish casting these prospects, and let's start at the running back position, Boone. And Man, just to pull back the curtain here on this one, I wrote an article for the site and I did the top 105 prospects on the consensus board at Mock Draft Database, which meant that, and I really only did 105 so that I could get like two more receivers that I like, get Dazon Stribling and Deion Burks into the article because I had some cool landing spots I thought picked out for those guys. It's literally the only reason I did 105, not 100. But also, doing that meant I left off a ton of these running backs on the list. And producer Colin's like, well, no, we got to have these running. And it's like, my God, this running back class, like, it's really hard to get excited about. A lot of these guys are even like, and producer Colin, I'm just going to air out all the grievances here on this one. Colin's like, well, don't forget, Woody Marks was relevant for fantasy last year. I'm like, okay, number one, Woody Marks, but barely relevant for fantasy. Like, okay, it's a couple of moments, whatever. Number two, I don't even know if these guys are as good as Woody Marks, all right? Like, that's how some of these running backs, it's going to feel this year. But the guy we're going to start with here, now that I've aired out all of my grievances with this running back class, and maybe with producer Colin, who I do truly respect as a producer and as a human being. Let's start at the top of this running back class. Jeremiah Love, Boone, we're each going to just give our dream landing spots. We're going to try to be quick on this one, so give me your dream landing spot. Where's your wish cast? Where are you sending Jeremiah Love in this process?
If we're going to air our grievances, I'll let everybody at home know that when you're saying, hey, we're going to be quick on this one, Boone, that's because you know I want to talk for a long time about something and you're trying to keep it tight. So I respect that.
Right.
And I will keep that in mind here.
So do I.
For me, Love, it's the spot that a lot of people have put him down for, and that's going to the Tennessee Titans. I think this makes a ton of sense. And I think if you look at this backfield, for kind of as bad as this organization has been for the last couple of years, the backfield's been fairly productive, right? Tony Pollard's topped 1,200 scrimmage yards each of the last 2 years. Now he's turning 29. That's going to happen at the end of the month here. There's an out in his contract. They could get rid of him and they could save $7 million. Now, do they need to do that? No, because they have the most cap space of any team right now. So it's not necessarily a move they need to make. But if they go out and get Love, he would step in. He would be the guy in this backfield. They would not need Tony Pollard anymore and they would move on from Pollard in my mind. And I like this spot for him because they'd be able to move in this new direction with this new coaching staff, with Brian Daboll calling the plays there, hoping to get more out of Cam Ward now that Dable's there as the offensive coordinator. I think things are just pointing in the right direction for the Titans. And now you could go out and get a running back that you could build this offense around that would take pressure off of Ward. And I do think this is a spot where he still could be productive because we saw Tony Pollard be productive when this offense was struggling, when they didn't have much at receiver. Now you figure not only do they go out and get Wandell Robinson, but I would expect that they're going to go out and get somebody in the draft to add to that receiver room. They need more help there. So I think this would be an exciting spot for him. I don't think it would be a negative. I think there's some other ones that might be a little more concerning. I think the Titans would be one where if he goes there, we're going to look at him as a low-end RB1, a high-end RB2 for fantasy starting in year one.
I think landing with the Titans is fine. I think it's probably better than Arizona, which I don't buy that rumor at all. Okay. I don't buy that they're taking him at three. That is one of like the 10 things I've heard in the last 5 days that I just completely did. Like, I think everything that you guys have heard in the previous 5 days and the next, 48 hours here until night one of the NFL draft is all complete nonsense. I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen in this draft. And I think that's all the way true up to from three down. Okay. That's where I'm at. I think the Tennessee Titans would be fine. I think it'd be better than Arizona. I think it would be better than him landing with the Giants. That being said, Boone, I think that the true dream landing spot that I think is really realistic, and this has been my spot since the NFL scouting combine, it's Washington at pick 7. And I think there's a very real chance that the top 6 picks all pass on Jeremiah Love. Maybe the Giants truly can't pass him up, but all the points that you made, which were good points about like, okay, the Titans could be like a good landing spot. It could be a good offense with a Cam Ward taking a step in year two, with Brian Daboll taking over and some of the improvements that they've made there. I think the Commanders, like, we already know Jaden Daniels is good. Like, we already know this can be a top level offense when he's healthy. So you drop him into this ecosystem I'm going to go ahead and moonwalk this guy, just green light him right into the first round of redraft leagues this year. So I think it's realistic, and I think that's why it's been my kind of wish casting spot for him all along here.
I think this is also a good landing spot. I still have questions about whether he would make it to 7. I think the Browns would be happy to trade out of 6. So I think he does. If he does get past the Titans and the Giants, maybe somebody moves up to try to get him there. Because again, this year, with the type of prospects that we have this year and sort of the thin nature of this class, I think Love kind of gets vaulted up a little bit because of that, right? Because you look at him and you say, yeah, this is a really quality running back prospect. And in most years, if you had a lot of good prospects, a lot of blue chip guys, he might fall a little bit further in the first round. But this year, when you're kind of uncertain, even in the top 10 about some of these players, maybe you just take this guy that you know can come in and help your team. I think if he goes to Washington, though, they do have a lot of other guys in that backfield. They went out and got Rashad White. Not that that is a complete threat, but we've seen Rashad White do his thing before where he's taken a lot of pass catching work, where he stays involved. You've brought up his relationship with Jaden Daniels. Is he really going to be happy if his friend that they brought to Washington for him is on the bench because they've gone out and get this other running back? I think he would still be involved. And I do think that, you know, JCM is really interesting. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, Bill Kroski-Merritt, who we've talked about a lot, because it seems like right now, if they didn't get another running back for that backfield, he would have a role. And last year, he finished the season really strong. And yet, how many opportunities could he have had last year? And they really didn't seem to want to give him that job, right? So I think they're going to be looking for someone. If it is Love, if he's on the board and they're getting their pick, they're going to run that one up to the podium. They're going to sprint up there and they're going to take him. And I think for fantasy, yeah, we would be very happy if that happened.
Either landing spot, I don't think would change the fact that he is clearly the first overall pick in dynasty rookie drafts. I kind of even think there's a pretty good argument for him to be the first overall pick, even in super flex leagues, even with Fernando Mendoza going
first.
Yeah,
I don't even
overall.
Think it's close. Yeah. I don't think it's close.
I don't either. I'm glad you agree, because I don't really think it's close either. And even in Tennessee, it's probably not. I still think Washington, it would cause me to be higher on him from a redraft standpoint. But ultimately, I do think that this is a good it's a good landing spot, even in Tennessee, for him to be a strong rookie pick here, both in dynasty and in redraft. Reminder, by the way, big show next Tuesday, a week from today. It's going to be our rookie dynasty mock draft pod. So we are going to get right into landing spot analysis as soon as the NFL draft is over. That is going to be extremely exciting. Let's stay at the running back position, and let's actually stay with Notre Dame backs here. Let's go to Jadarian Price. What was your dream landing spot for Jadarian Price?
So here's where we get into what you were talking about at the beginning, right? The idea that after Love, this class, not the most exciting. There's some guys that definitely could end up being valuable fantasy pieces, but unlike most years, I think these guys are going to fall a little bit further in the draft, right? And we don't really know where they're going to go. And normally with certain other positions, we'll always talk about like, hey, I'd like to see this guy go somewhere where maybe he could have a year where he could learn behind some veterans and that would be good for his development. Running back, we normally don't talk about that because running back, you want the guy to get opportunity right away. You want the guy to just immediately produce for your fantasy team. And yet, I think there's a few guys we're about to talk about here, Harmon, where I kind of would like to see them go somewhere where maybe they get a chance to ease into a role. And I think that could be good for their development. And I'm looking at Price and I'm looking at the Vikings offense. And you and I have had plenty of conversations about the Vikings and how good this offense could be. I think we're hoping that they're going to have better injury luck on that offensive line this year, that Kyler Murray is going to be an upgrade at quarterback. I think things are pointing in the right direction there. And then you look at the backfield and you go, how excited are we about Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason? I mean, Aaron Jones, he's getting up there, right? He's going to be what, 30? He's entering his age 32 season. He's going to turn 32 in December, December 2nd, same birthday as me. Shout out December 2nd. But he is getting up there. They didn't even really seem like they wanted to bring him back this year, right? It was a restructured contract and they decided, all right, fine, we'll keep you. Jordan Mason's had his opportunities. Doesn't really seem like he's the long-term answer there. So I think Price could step in, could be behind those guys, could compete against those guys. And maybe as the season goes along, Aaron Jones has had a ton of injury problems in recent years. Maybe all of a sudden Aaron Jones gets hurt and Price gets an opportunity in an offense that I think is going to be very productive and is going to have a pretty big bounce back year now that Kyler Murray's there, giving him at least stable quarterback play, let's hope.
Yeah, I think he's a Jerrion Price like hard runner, and has like an aggressive style to him that I think would complement Aaron Jones. And like Jordan Mason's one of these guys that just I don't think would prevent them from taking a back at any point. So Price would make a lot of sense for them. By the way, we're going to have a lot of like overlapping landing spots when I'm looking ahead on the outline for these running backs, because that's the other thing about this. Like, there are teams that might not, honestly, I think there are teams out there that don't even have like 8 to 9 draftable running backs on their boards. And there's really not that many teams that have just a screaming need at running back. I do think Minnesota is pretty close to one of those that does need a starter at the position, or at least somebody that when and if Aaron Jones misses time will need a starter. I also think that is true for the Denver Broncos, who is my dream wish casting landing spot for Jadarian Price here. Again, I think Price might not be ready to, I mean, he didn't carry the load in college. Obviously, Jeremiah Love was the guy there and Jadarian Price mixed in. And so I think you could kind of give him a season, or at least give him half a season. As you point out, like, J.K. Dobbins, unfortunately, is a guy that is likely to suffer injuries because he has suffered injuries throughout the course of his NFL career. J.K. Dobbins could start the season in the role that he was in last year as the early down guy, as the guy that plays the most snaps. R.J. Harvey, who I think kind of flopped as a feature back last year, but is really dynamic potentially in the passing game, showed us a lot of good stuff there. So you kind of have those guys in that role. And then if Dobbins misses time, well, then you have Price to step in as the early down banger and the early down more of explosive guy, whereas Harvey is your change of pace, your pass catching option. Like, we know Sean Payton wants to run through multiple backs. Like, we know he wants to cycle these guys in and out. This gives him some depth at the position. And that's another thing too. Like, you look at Denver's roster across the board, they don't have a first round pick because of the Jalen Waddle trade. They also don't have a lot of screaming team needs either. So I think they can take what might look like a luxury position as the third running back, but I also think, again, it is a position that will be of need at some point if Dobbins does miss time. So we're kind of along the same wavelength with our Jadarian Price landing spots here.
Yeah, and not that we need to like talk about the realistic nature of any of this, but I'll also bring up the Vikings pick before the Broncos. They pick before the Seahawks, who I think are another team that could be looking for a running back to get to the second round. So where we think some of these guys that we're talking about right now, like Price, could go, the Vikings will be picking before them, and the Vikings have 2/3 to work with as well. So this is kind of the spot that I think would make a lot of sense for them. But yeah, I can't go against the Broncos as a pretty solid landing spot, because the next guy we're going to talk about, I have going to the Broncos, and it's for basically all the reasons you just said, right? We're looking for quality offenses. We're looking for ways guys could get opportunity. And RJ Harvey, as much as he was really good for fantasy down the stretch after J.K. Dobbins got hurt, in real life, you don't want that guy to be your bell cow. You don't want him taking on too much of the workload, and you want to pair him with someone where he can do a lot of the pass catching work. He can be kind of that, you know, explosive option you mix in on the early downs, but you want somebody else to be there with him to form that committee. And I think even the Broncos know. They must just accept at this point that J.K. Dobbins, who's been in the league since, what, 2020? Never finished a year without missing time with an injury. It just happens every season. It's inevitable and it's awful. I hope this is going to be the year where he's healthy and he finally does it and he proves me wrong. But basically, when I'm doing projections and stuff, I look at J.K. Dobbins, and I don't really do this for many players. I dock him severely. Like, running backs, you'll dock like a game or two because kind of every running back gets hurt. With him, it's going to be 5 or 6 games normally that I'm looking at, which is incredible. Like, that's massive. And yet, we've seen that happen to him just so many times here. So yeah, I think this is a great landing spot for running back, though I have a slightly different running back that I'm sending to the Broncos today.
Okay, so let's get into it. Next guy on our list is Mike Washington Jr. out of Arkansas, who you are sending to the Denver Broncos. Any particular reason you thought Washington might be a good fit in Denver?
Well, like we're saying, a guy that I think has a ton of athleticism, but he doesn't have the talent that J.K. Dobbins has and might really benefit from spending a little time on the bench and getting slowly mixed in before he has to take on a bigger role in the offense. A bigger guy, like bigger than Dobbins for sure, but has so much speed, so much burst, can do a lot of those things, can break bigger plays. And I think he would just be a nice complement that you could put together with R.J. Harvey and form a pretty good backfield that you're not spending a top 10 pick to get a guy like Jeremiah Love to make it happen. And I think the Broncos are going to be a good offense, and you could have those two as kind of your solution at the position for the next few seasons.
I mean, yeah, I like it a lot. And again, I think Denver does make sense for a banger back. I actually had Mike Washington going to Seattle here, which, by the way, I noticed you did not send a running back to Seattle. Spoiler alert for any of our wish casting spots. So I kind of want you to explain why you didn't do that here in just a second. But for Seattle, I think they are one of the few teams that does have a screaming need, I think, for a starting running back. Like Emmanuel Wilson, solid player. Not a guy I think you can start throughout the course of really even, I don't even think he's a guy that you want being your feature back over the first month of the season if Zach Charbonnet is going to be a guy who comes back eventually. Charbonnet is a nice player, but he's coming off of a major injury that occurred very late last season, obviously in the playoffs. Mike Washington, I'll give credit to Josh Norris on this one on Mock Draft Monday. Like, he kind of incepted me on this one. He really sold me on this idea that Washington looks like a little bit of just the classic Seahawks back under John Schneider. He's not nearly as nimble and not nearly as elusive as Kenneth Walker, but he is a big, fast home run hitter back who probably isn't the steady Eddie. And obviously they've had some steady guys like Zach Charbonnet, but they've also had guys like Rashad Penny. They've also had guys like Kristen Michael. They've also had guys like Chris Carson, these big, fast, physical backs. I think Washington certainly fits into that mix here. He could be a guy they get in the second round. By the way, I think all of these guys could be third round picks here too. I think there's a very real chance that like no running backs go in the second round. It's just Jeremiah Love in the first round. I think that's very live with this class here. So even in that scenario, Washington wouldn't be a guy that the Seahawks are just like saying, hey, this is our set it and forget it starter. But he brings an explosive element that even if it's not in the same style, it is what Kenneth Walker left behind when he went to Kansas City.
Yeah, and I definitely think this would be a good landing spot. We'd love this for fantasy if it happened, and it would push Washington up the board for sure in rookie drafts. I think for me, not giving a back to Seattle, it wasn't like a conscious thing that I think there's no chance they're going to take a back, but they don't have a ton of picks. They have their top three picks.
That's true.
They have a sixth rounder other than that. Are they really going to spend one on a running back? They went out and got Wilson, who I don't think is going to be your long-term starter, but could he give you half a season until we, you know, maybe get Charbonnet back down the stretch? I think that's definitely possible. I also think George Helani is going to be in the mix here. Like, I think right now, if they go into the year with Emmanuel Wilson and Helani, who apparently they like him a whole bunch.
Yeah.
I think that would be fine to try to get through the early part of the season with that. Now, is that me also holding a lot of George Helani in Dynasty? And is that informing my opinion on this a little bit? Perhaps.
I was going to say, I also have a deep Dynasty kind of stock of George Helani. So when you're saying that, I'm like, okay, I like that. I'm into it.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, there are still some guys out there in free agency that they could grab a veteran that could help fill that hole a little bit as well, right? Get someone on the cheap. Maybe we see a guy get released at some point, like a Tony Pollard that I was talking about earlier. We could still see some guys get released into the summer and they could pick someone up, right? The Seahawks have been a fairly smart organization, obviously, in recent years. So it wouldn't surprise me at all versus them spending, you know, some people are talking about a late first on like Jadarian Prince. I don't think that's going to happen, or even potentially a second. You know, maybe that third round pick goes to a running back, but we'll see. That's sort of what my thinking was on that one.
I think it was a great point to bring up that they only have four picks this year. They have the fewest picks of any team, and they look like a team that could trade down, if not just from pick 32, maybe multiple times here to pick up extra draft capital, because it's not like they have a bunch of screaming needs here necessarily. But I definitely think that there is a lot of options for them to trade down and pick up some extra picks, but from the 32nd overall pick especially. Like, they need a right guard. They could potentially like look at a couple of guys at the top of the second round there, in addition to picking up some extra capital to grab one of these running backs somewhere along the way. All right, we are going to take our first quick break. We come back, we're running through more dream wish casting spots for these rookie running backs. We'll get into that right after this. All right, we're back. We're continuing to wish cast these rookie running backs to some good landing spots here. And let's get into the next one, Jonah Coleman. And this is the last guy I'm like actually interested in talking about. All right, the three guys after that, no disrespect, I would have left them off the show. But again, As I was told, rookie running backs matter in fantasy football, so we will be doing some of these other backs. But Jonah Coleman was the only other back that really gets me excited from this class here, and he's not even all that exciting of a player, right? We interviewed Jonah Coleman for the show, and again, I don't say he's not exciting to be disrespectful. I mean that he's really good at like the little things of the position, Boone. He's really good in pass protection. He doesn't fumble, and he catches the ball when it's thrown his way, which, by the way, sounds a lot like what the Minnesota Vikings need, which is why that was my dream landing spot for him. You already talked about this earlier, how they're clearly a team that does need help at the running back position. We don't know if we can count on Aaron Jones. They barely really brought him back. And I just think like what I think their passing offense, it will be better under Kyler Murray, but in my opinion, Kyler Murray is always going to be a high variance player. So when I think about what they need in the run game, they need somebody who's going to just help them get on base. He's going to be a successful, efficient rusher, even if he's not the most explosive guy, not going to just rip off these long runs. That's okay. That's not really what they need in the run game. They need more of that steady Eddie presence. Coleman is one of my favorite steady Eddie backs in this class. One of the few guys that isn't Jeremiah Love who actually gets me really excited from a running back standpoint. So get a guy who could pass protect in here. Get a guy who can catch the ball on third down when Kyler Murray wants to check it down. I really like Jonah Coleman. I think he'd be a good fit in Minnesota. You already talked about the Vikings and why they need a running back. Who is your wish casting spot for Jonah Coleman out of the University of Washington?
Well, we already talked about mine too, and it's the Washington Commanders. I think that backfield certainly needs someone, as we alluded to earlier. I have Coleman still as my running back too in this class. And like we talked about, there's a massive gap there between Love and everyone else. But I think if you take Coleman and you put him in that Commanders backfield, it gives them kind of what they had last year, sort of, where they had kind of a group of backs that they could deploy. So he could step into like that Chris Rodriguez kind of role. And you still have Rashad White getting involved and maybe sprinkle in a little JCM there as well. And they kind of do it by committee, because I don't think really any of the backs that we're talking about in this section, we're not expecting any of these guys to step up and be a true lead back, a workhorse type guy. All these guys, I think, are going to be best deployed in some sort of tandem, some sort of committee. And I think Coleman is no different, even though I like him as, you know, my second favorite back in this class. So I think he could be the answer there for the Commanders. And like you said earlier, it's a great landing spot for fantasy. And if we can find the lead back in that, even if it is a tandem or a trio there, it could be valuable, and we could be getting it a little bit cheaper than having to pay up earlier to get one of the other guys.
Always risky to vault these rookie running backs up just based on landing spot, especially if you're not considering the draft capital, and we don't really know where some of these guys are going to go. And even Jonah Coleman and Emmett Johnson, who we're going to talk about the last on the list here, like they're kind of barely in that top 100 in consensus ranking. So there's no lock. These guys are even third round draft picks. I think Coleman would be a fine third round pick, but always can be difficult to vault these guys up in your dynasty rookie rankings. But this would be a spot in Minnesota or Washington if Coleman landed there, where I think he could get himself off to a nice start in his NFL career. But let's get to the next guy on the list here. That is Nicholas Singleton out of Penn State. Where did you send Nicholas Singleton?
So this is a dude that I actually like, and I don't know if we have talked about yet.
No, we have not.
So I actually think he could become a three down back in the NFL. I think he's explosive. It's more like straight line speed. It kind of could get a little, you know, herky jerky if he gets off of his line, but he has that big play ability. I think he could be an exciting player, and I don't think he's been hyped up for the main reason that he got hurt during the Senior Bowl, right? He missed the whole pre-draft process. We haven't really gotten anything out of him, and that's led to people not talking about him much. But what if we take a team that we thought last year was going to draft a running back early, and maybe they tried to and kind of missed out a little bit, but I'm looking at the Chicago Bears. There was talk that maybe they were in on, you know, Trayvon Henderson, and they just got, you know, someone jumped ahead of them and took him right before. They ended up getting Kyle Manungai, who was a good piece of the backfield, but I don't think he really profiles as the guy that you want as your lead back. I think you'd want someone else in that tandem with him. DeAndre Swift going into the last year of his contract, another spot where Singleton could come in, doesn't have to take the reins right away. Maybe as the year goes on, he takes on a bigger role, or maybe just next season we see him get an opportunity. But man, if we could find somebody to be the starting running back in that Bears backfield, which last year was all the talk, and then I think, you know, Swift had a pretty good season and Manungai did well, And no one's really talking about the Bears as a potential landing spot for a running back. But I think maybe a little later, they find some value here in a guy that would be going higher if he was healthy all through this process. I would love to see Singleton go there.
Yeah, I do think he could be a long-term DeAndre Swift replacement. And Singleton definitely has his appeal. I just think obviously he never became what he was built up to be from a prospect, like from a recruit standpoint, never kind of became that guy. Again, as Ian Harditz were showing on the screen here, was the number one running back in the recruiting class. Still a young player, definitely can get better with running back. Sometimes like the light just turns on, especially as you mentioned, like he got hurt in the Senior Bowl. We just don't know what the process would be like for him at this point. But I definitely think there's some sleeper appeal to him. And I kind of went along the same vein with my landing spot here and sent him to the Baltimore Ravens, where essentially he can just be Derrick Henry's understudy this year. They lost Keaton Mitchell in free agency to the Los Angeles Chargers. So not that Keaton Mitchell was a big player for them from a role standpoint. Justice Hill is more of the complimentary back there because he's good in pass protection and the whole deal. They trust him more as a receiver than they did Keaton Mitchell. We'll see if Singleton earns more of a receiving role for this team. But nevertheless, might give him just like, hey, give him a few touches throughout the course of a game. See if you can get some explosive runs out of him. And maybe by 2026, he's shown you enough that like we can just hand him the reins. And the Ravens have 11 picks this year, so they can afford to spend one on a running back somewhere along the way.
Yeah, no, I really like that call. And I think that's the big thing to focus on here. And looking at the rest of the placements we have for these guys, we're looking at good offenses where even if the guy doesn't step into a starting role, steps into a backup role, we know how valuable those backups could be for fantasy. They can become one injury away guys, but you want a player that's going to get a shot in a good offense, potentially, that if they don't have the same level of like elite talent, that just the opportunity in some of these offenses could make them valuable for fantasy.
Sticking on Penn State backs and sticking in the AFC North, Catron Allen is our next running back to talk about. And I sent him to the Cincinnati Bengals here as a wish casting spot. You know, obviously Chase Brown is awesome. I'm not trying to take touches away from Chase Brown on this one. I think Catron Allen just can be more of the grinder back here for Cincinnati and give them a little, like, I think at times they wanted to give Chase Brown a little bit more of a breather as an early down banger back. They take some of his snaps away for Samaje Perine in pass down situations last year anyways, which is fine. But again, just ways to kind of give them more of a compliment as a rusher to kind of take, again, some of those grinder touches away from Chase Brown that wouldn't really affect his fantasy outlook. And again, Catron Allen's a guy that I think will be a fifth or sixth round pick in the NFL draft, so not even really a threatening name. But I do think he can be a good grinder back in the NFL, like a very, very useful player. He lands in Cincinnati here and provides kind of a nice compliment to Chase Brown. Where did you send Catron Allen?
We're thinking along the same lines because I'm going with the Chiefs here. Another good AFC offense, another offense where they have a quality running back at the top spot and Kenneth Walker, just like how the Bengals have Chase Brown. But after that, where's that number two back? Is it Amari DiMercato who they also brought in? Like, I don't think so. So they need to bring someone else in. And it's for a lot of the same reasons you just talked about with Chase Brown, right? Kenneth Walker, he has some injury history, right? We could be worried about that popping up again, even though we're all excited about this new opportunity he's getting. But along the lines of the Chase Brown thing, you want someone else to be back there who could take some of those tough carries away. And I think Allen could do that, even though I don't think that he has a real shot to become a starting NFL back who's going to get a ton of volume and be a real great fantasy asset. I think he could have value as a quality number two in a good offense. And I still do worry that Kenneth Walker, you know, has that durability concern and that could pop up at some point. So it would be nice to know for sure who that number two back was going to be in the Chiefs offense.
Yeah, and again, we're thinking with the same brain here. Just take some grinder carries away from the starting back here. That makes a lot of sense on this one. Okay, last running back in this section, Emmett Johnson. He actually was in my article because he ended up filing in the top 105 picks, so I did pick a landing spot for him. And for me, that was the Green Bay Packers, a team we haven't talked about yet. You have the Ravens. You can hit on that when I toss it back to you because we've already talked about the Ravens as kind of their needed running back. But I just thought Green Bay kind of quietly, I think, needs a running back, right? Emmanuel Wilson left in free agency. There's definitely been, I mean, how many times last year did it feel like Josh Jacobs, like, he's barely going to play. I mean, he might not play. And then he played, and there'd be clips of him in the locker room talking about how he gutted it out for his teammates because he loves these guys, which is awesome. Like, that's why Josh Jacobs is the man. Might also be nice if he wasn't, like, barely himself by the end of the season, right? Because you can kind of get a compliment here. And I don't think Emmett Johnson has starting NFL running back upside, but I do think he could be a change of pace option in the league. And when you can get him to the second level, which Green Bay has a well-designed run game, in my opinion, I think they could get him some second level runs. He actually does have some moves in the open field. So I actually think he would be a quality compliment to Josh Jacobs as the still feature back in Green Bay.
Yeah, I love that call with the Packers, because as much as I can write like deep, deep, super deep sleeper articles and talk about Chris Brooks or Marshawn Lloyd, who everyone's forgotten about because he just constantly gets hurt and hasn't really...
I did forget about Marshawn.
Right, he hasn't been able... His whole career here has just been put on delay because every time he gets out there, he'll make one run and then he gets hurt. So unfortunately, you probably figure the Packers are going to go out and look to get someone else that they could trust back there. And I do think Chris Brooks is a pretty solid number two, but probably better as your number three. And I have Emmett Johnson here going to the Ravens, and it's for all the same reasons that you said with Singleton, yeah. Right? It's trying to get somebody in there behind Derrick Henry who could be an option, kind of like Keaton Mitchell was, change of pace guy, and maybe eventually take over. Or perhaps, not that we want to see it happen, this is the year that Derrick Henry finally breaks down. He is an older back. Father time is coming at some point, so... they have to get another back in there who could take over if he does miss time.
The Ravens have four picks in the fifth round this year. Four. Like, I could easily see one of those just being like, hey, we're going to earmark this for one of these change of pace backs this year who could maybe eventually be our future starter. I do think Emmett Johnson would make a lot of sense for them in that role. Okay, we are going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're wish casting the wide receivers of dream landing spots. We will get into that right after this. All right, we're back, and it is time to talk wide receivers. And listen, Boone, we were chatting about it during the break. I'm excited to talk about these wide receiver prospects with you because I don't really know what you think about some of these guys and kind of where you've come down on some of these prospects. Let's get it started with the flavor of the week for some reason. Jordan Tyson here. Where are we sending him? I mean, I know why he's the flavor of the week because he had this workout that we've all known was coming on April 17th. And yeah, he looked really quick and fluid. Watch 5 seconds of him playing and you know he's really quick and fluid. I know it's like good to see him check the box of him being able to run after he's had the hamstring thing, but to me, so just some of the buzz about him, like, okay, now he's clearly back in the top 10. It either rings like he was in the top 10 all along or like somebody's trying too hard to push an agenda, but that's a whole nother topic that nobody really cares about. Really good wide receiver prospect who I clearly think has the upside to be the best receiver in this year's draft class, but does need the right landing spot. So really interested to hear, Boone, where you sent Jordan Tyson.
I'm sending him to the Dolphins, but I think part of the reason why there's so much talk about him this week is because there's so many teams in that range that are probably going to look at receiver and consider taking one of the top receivers, right? The Giants, they might be interested at 5. Now they have 10 as well. The Browns could use a receiver at 6. The Commanders, we talked about the need for running back. They got a need for receiver as well. The Saints at 8. The Chiefs at 9. The Dolphins at 11. Cowboys at 12. Like, there's so many teams in that range that could be in the market for a receiver. So yes, whether these are real reports about interest, whether these are teams just trying to jockey for position and hope that the guy they actually want falls to them, I don't know. But the Dolphins landing spot, whatever receiver ends up there, and let's face it, there is going to be a receiver in the early rounds, at least one that ends up with Miami after that Jalen Waddle trade. Whoever ends up there, whoever's the top guy on that depth chart, they could be in store for 120, 140 targets. Like, immediately there's going to be a bunch of volume headed their way. And even if they aren't a truly elite prospect, the opportunity is going to be there for them to have pretty good numbers for fantasy in the first season, just based on the fact that Malik Washington is there. He's probably a better number three receiver than a number two, or obviously not a number one. Tutu Atwell, Jalen Tolbert, like, they just don't have much on that depth chart. So I think he could step into that offense, give them that option downfield, fill in for some of the things that Jalen Waddle did, and immediately be fantasy relevant because of all the volume that could be at play.
Oh, man, this is one of those landing spots I'd be so nervous about for Jordan Tyson, because I really think he needs to be deployed as a movement Z off the ball and like not just be looked at, okay, he's 6'2", over 200 pounds, like he's our X receiver. And I look at all those receivers we're showing on the screen right now, like they're all guys who, not like even Jalen Tolbert's not even like a sacrificial X receiver. You know, I mean, I guess they could use him in that way, but man, I don't know. He's got like the Tutu Atwells, the Malik Washingtons of the world. Those guys obviously have to play off ball in the slot Z receiver. I don't know. I mean, I think the target upside would be huge here for Jordan Tyson. I actually think from a route concept standpoint, some of the stuff that I imagine Bobby Slowick is going to do, he'd be a good fit there. I would just be a little bit nervous about him landing in this spot, but there's no question that there's a lot of teams in this. I also think, by the way, too, just spoiler alert, we're not going to talk about him here, but he's in the article. I sent them Dazon Stribling in the second round for the Miami Dolphins. Cause I think about Boone, just this Packers front office. And obviously this is not totally realistic cause it's a wish casting exercise. Right. That Dolphins front office is just like littered with a bunch of former Packers guys. Obviously, the first time they took a round one wide receiver forever was last year in Matthew Golden, which didn't, I mean, it could be fine, but it didn't go that well as a rookie. I kind of think they might load up at receiver on like day two, day three. And you just look at the roster, it's such a disaster class in the trenches. I think they could end up going trenches in round one, receivers in round two. But Tyson would have a lot of target upside here. He probably wouldn't have the same amount of target upside in my wish casting landing spot here, which is New Orleans a little bit earlier, eighth overall. By the way, I think eighth overall is a little aggressive for Jordan Tyson, even in a draft class that's a little light here. I actually like him landing at 11 from a capital standpoint, which is what you had here. But in New Orleans, at least, you've got a guy in Chris Olave who can run the vertical routes. I think Chris Olave, while he's a smaller player, can play on ball. He can be used in that way. With the way this offense flows and all the motion that they use there, you get guys that get slot reps, Z receiver reps, you know, just some of the free releases. And I think Tyson really does need some of those free releases. And apparently they like Tyson to the New Orleans Saints. So I thought this was a pretty realistic landing spot that also wouldn't make me all that nervous from like a pre-snap deployment standpoint.
I will say too, that when I'm looking at the top trio, and I still have it as a top trio of receivers in Mekhi Lemon and Carnell Tate and Tyson, I think Tyson's the one that I'm least confident in. So I feel like putting him in that Dolphins offense for me, where I feel like the volume is just going to have to flow to the player that they take first. I think that gave me a little more confidence about his fantasy outlook in year one versus if he goes to a team like the Saints, where now he's going to have to compete with Chris Olave, who we really like, obviously. And then I start to question, like, okay, is he going to carve out enough based on the player that I think he is in an offense where he has that much competition? Where I also have one of the top receivers going to the Saints, spoiler alert. But it's somebody that, at least personally, I feel a little bit stronger in his talent and his ability to command some targets there.
Well, yeah, I think you were thinking, this was probably just like difference in philosophy on this one, where like I was thinking about what might be best for his long-term NFL outlook. And you were thinking about, okay, how could we get this guy a lot of targets in year one? Cause there's no question, like his target share upside in Miami is significantly higher than it would be in New Orleans. But either way, I think like Tyson's a really talented player. It is going to come down to the landing spot, but you mentioned it. You have a wide receiver going to New Orleans, and I almost did this one. So I love this pairing that you have here for Mekhi Lemon going to New Orleans. Let the people know why you wish casted Lemon to New Orleans.
Well, for the folks who listen to every episode in the off season, this is not going to be anything new, because like you said, the last time we talked about prospects on a full episode was back at the Combine, and we did a short segment where we talked about some of these landing spots potentially for guys that was just first round players. And I had this pairing as well, and it was Mekhi Lemon going to the Saints. And to me at the time, that was him going off the board as the number one receiver. We don't know if that's going to be the case. In fact, I don't think he's probably going to be the number one receiver off the board, but I still love this pairing. I think he would fit really well in that offense. He could play inside. He could play outside. I know he played a ton of slot snaps in college, but he was effective outside as well. This is a player that can be moved around. And like you said, they want to do that, right? They're going to continue to do that. Kellen Moore, great job coaching up that team as a whole. Great job with that offense. Tyler Shuck, obviously, overperformed in year one. We're a big fan of him. I have jumped on the Tyler Shuck bandwagon as well now, pushed him up my rankings a little bit. And part of the reason is because I think there's a strong chance that they're going to spend that number eight pick on a receiver and bolster the weapons around him. And I think that would be exciting for the whole offense, which he had a good year last year, and they don't have that many weapons in the passing game when you think about it, other than Olave. Juwan Johnson, a decent pass-catching tight end, but man, what if we get a guy like Lemon in there as well, who he's not getting hyped up as much, and I wonder how much is just like some of the scouts, some of the personnel guys at the combine probably were turned off by like that strange intensity that he brought. There was reports that maybe some of the interviews that he had with the teams, maybe they didn't go as well as planned. I will say, personally, I'm not scared off by somebody that has a strong personality or a different personality. If they have the talent to back it up, it's your job to go get them and coach them up and get the most out of them, whether we're talking about football or real life or any job that you're at, right? So I love, like, Mike Tomlin used to talk about this a bunch, that it's his job as a coach to get the most out of players. And yet I feel like a lot of people play it safe and shy away from guys that might, you know, have a bit of a different approach or different outlook. I don't think teams should do that. I think it'd be a mistake if they do that about Lemon. And if they do, you know what's going to happen? He's going to end up falling to the team that you have on the list for him. And that would be just a terrible mistake for the rest of the NFL, because that would be a great thing for him and a terrible mistake for everyone else.
Yeah, luckily, Boone, we've never seen any weirdos be good at wide receiver. You know, we've never seen any strange personalities work out at the wide receiver position. Yeah, I think there's a lot of things at play with the Mekhi Lemon, you know, lack of buzz or, you know, perceived fall, whatever you want to call it in the draft. I think part of it is some of all that. I think also part of it is prospect fatigue, because he's just like good rock solid player that we've known is going to be kind of drafted in the range he's going to be drafted in for a long time. The other part of it too is I think that there are too many teams that are probably just stuck in like wide receiver dogma that applied in 2015, 2017. And he's just a different archetype of player than some of those guys. But you know what team really makes good about receivers in that archetype? The Los Angeles Rams. Which is the dream wish, is the list wish casting spot I had him going to. Full transparency on this one, I have been personally wish casting KC Concepcion to the Los Angeles Rams. So I think it would be a really cool, like, different type of wide receiver for them. And obviously, he's my guy this year, so I'd love to see him in just this McVay ecosystem. That would be electric. But when I think about Mekhi Lemon, I think I want him. He's really, I think, landing spot sensitive. I think he'd be great with the Saints. That's another spot that I really think he'd be awesome in, because they give all these guys so many slot reps, and he does need to work primarily from the slot. But the Rams also do that as well. They blur the line between what's an outside receiver, what's a slot receiver. You've got Cooper Kupp. You've got Puka Nacua. Right? Like, these are the type of players who, in, you know, an 11 personnel world, is a big slot player, but can play some Z condensed to the line of scrimmage. And obviously Nacua has been even more than that. It's a little bit hat on a hat with Mekhi Lemon and Puka Nacua, but I think there's a reason to maybe have some Puka Nacua insurance at this point if you're the Los Angeles Rams. And they certainly need a wide receiver in 2027, because Davante Adams on the last year of his deal would be 34. So I think Lemon would be an awesome fit, obviously, with the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, and we also know, if we're believing the reports that were out there, that the Rams made some calls on receivers potentially for trades this offseason. So it seems like they are interested in adding someone. And yeah, there's been a lot of smoke around them potentially taking one early. And man, this would be incredible. I would be very excited from like an NFL standpoint. I think fantasy wise, there'd be maybe a little bit of concern about his outlook early on. Sure. But then after that, oh my God, it would be the best.
All right, our next one up is Carnell Tate, and we both have him going to the same landing spot. We both have him going to the Kansas City Chiefs. So, Boone, I think this is one I think I've talked about probably twice a week, every week, since the NFL Scouting Combine. So why don't you let the people out there know why you think he'd be a great fit in Kansas City?
because the way that things have gone, and they've tried to address the receiver position with early picks, obviously, and Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice, and Worthy has had a lot of injuries, hasn't really given them that much from a production standpoint. Rice has been great. I think fantasy managers sometimes look at him and think he's a better receiver than he is, perhaps, because the way that they use him really inflates his stats. You've talked about it before that he's like not a true number one receiver in terms of lining him up out wide and just letting him do his thing and win. They do a lot of stuff to help him kind of get open, get him the ball, and let him make plays. Man, if you could put Tate out there and actually give them a guy that could be a number one outside receiver for them, could give them some insurance. You mentioned with Puka Nacua and the Rams. I mean, Rashee Rice has had some strange off-field situations as well. So that could pop up at any moment. We've gotten the news that this year he's not going to face any discipline. But when you see people making a series of decisions off the field that you start to question, you worry that at some point that could come back into play and he could miss time. Tate just seems like a great player to add to this offense, to give Mahomes that number one receiver. And how often are they going to be picking in this range where they could get a guy like this? And then you think about the receiver contracts too, and getting a guy on a rookie deal, how smart that would be. And let's face it, the Chiefs are a very smart organization. So yeah, I think this one, it's just too obvious. It makes a ton of sense for them to get Tate and add him. And it would be very exciting for the Chiefs. As a Bills fan, I don't want to admit that, but it would be great for Chiefs fans if Tate goes there, and it would be great for fantasy managers as well.
Your point about the contracts is really well taken. I think that there is a chance that they look at it and say, hey, we can take a pass rusher or an offensive lineman in the top 10, and we can hope there's a receiver for us available at our second first round pick. That just kind of comes down to how the run goes, right? Like, is a Denzel Boston going to be there for them in the late first round? Possibly. Is a Casey Concepcion going to be there in the late first round for them? Possibly. They could be available, but also could go earlier than them. So you just fix the problem here right away. Ninth overall with Carnell Tate. But speaking of Casey Concepcion, and speaking of making Bills fans happy, Boone, we got another unanimous one here. We both sent Casey Concepcion to the Buffalo Bills in our wish casting exercise. Like I said, I want to see him go 13th overall to the Rams. We all know why you would like to see Casey Concepcion go to the Buffalo Bills. I also would like to see him there because, look, he needs, like, this team still needs more separators on the outside against man coverage. Casey is the best man coverage beater in the class. He's the best separator and the best route runner in this year's class. I just think he would be a dynamic player for a team that also uses a lot of motion at the snap and gets these guys open. Casey would be a nightmare for opposing defenses in this scheme. Come alive on the screens, come alive on the plays over the middle of the field. I think Josh Allen would finally have a guy that reminds him of Stephon Diggs, because he reminds me, frankly, of Stephon Diggs as well. So I love Casey Concepcion. You are the Buffalo Bills. What do you kind of think here for Casey Concepcion landing with your Bills?
I mean, the dude was born in Rochester. This was meant to be, Harmon. This is a perfect match here. I do wonder, though, will the Bills have a great fantasy receiver at any point, or have they now locked into kind of spreading the ball around, and will it be a little tougher to project this week to week? But I'm saying that after a couple of years where they didn't have the talent, they didn't have the guy who could do it. When they had Stephon Diggs,
yeah,
he was great for fantasy. He was getting a ton of volume, and I think we could see Concepcion eventually evolve into that type of talent there. So yeah, this one would make me very, very happy if they go receiver in the first round and finally solve that position. DJ Moore was a step in the right direction. Let's get another player that actually lock it down.
Totally agree. Like, the whole everyone eats thing, that's just something you do when you don't have a guy who can handle the main load. Last one before we take the final break of the show on the Yahoo Sports Network here. Denzel Boston. I'm sending him to San Francisco because he can essentially kind of learn under Mike Evans how to do the big boy X receiver stuff. But in the long run, like, I think Denzel Boston could absolutely play in the league, but not every team uses their X receiver on the same type of route tree, which is what Denzel Boston kind of needs. I think he needs a lot of digs, a lot of slants, a lot of stuff over the breaks over the middle of the field, crossers, things of that nature. That is the San Francisco X receiver route tree. So I think he would be a really good fit there in San Francisco. And again, he would be the long-term kind of replacement for Mike Evans, who's really only there on a one-year deal. And him and Ricky Pearsall would be a really fun tandem in 2027 and beyond. And still, like, they need wide receiver help this year. Like, you could get him some big slot reps, some Z reps this year as well. But you sent Denzel Boston to a different spot. Where are you sending him?
Yeah, a little teaser. After the break, I have my next receiver going to the San Francisco 49ers. So people should stick around and listen to that. I'm sending Boston to the Ravens. I like the idea that now they have their first round picks back. They got their first round pick this year. Next, go out, get a different type of receiver to put in that offense. Get that bigger bodied guy to mix in there. I think that would be exciting. Lamar Jackson, people don't talk about it as much as Josh Allen, but Lamar Jackson's kind of been hamstrung a bit with his receiving core, right? Zay Flowers has been good, but again, a guy that might be a little miscast as their number one receiver, probably better as a number two. Rashad Bateman hasn't really gotten the job done there. I think it could be interesting to see them. They might even be able to trade back, acquire something, and take him a little bit later in the first round versus where they're picking at 14. But I think he would be very interesting in that offense.
They've just felt like they've needed a big-bodied receiver for a long time in Baltimore. Like,
right?
Even as much as I've liked Bateman in the past, like, and I still do have an appreciation for his route running, he's not a big body receiver, never was, and he certainly has not been a contested catch threat in the NFL. Like, he's a separator, Zay's a separator. Get yourself a big body on ball player. Boston would be a really good fit in this offense that I think wants their receivers to block and run some routes over the middle of the field against zone coverage. Boston, really good fit, I think, in either Baltimore or San Francisco. So I like both of those landing spots that we send into. But that is going to do it for us on the Yahoo Sports Network. However, if you're hanging out with us here on social media, continue to watch. If you're watching with us on YouTube, continue to watch, because after the break, we are going to finish up the wide receivers and do some quarterback and tight end wish casting. We'll get into that right after this. All right, we're back, and it is time to finish up the wide receivers here, some of our wish casting. What are you laughing at, Boone? I don't know what you're talking about. Finish up our wish casting landing spots for these wide receivers. Let's start with Omar Cooper Jr. You teased this one where you're sending him before the break, so where are you sending Omar Cooper Jr.?
You know I love this dude. I think he would be a great fit in San Francisco, and there's an obvious connection there. I mean, one of his clear comps is Debo Samuel. He's got a lot of Debo Samuel in his game. Great after the catch. Really powerful runner with the ball in his hands. Let's see him go to Kyle Shanahan, who had great success with Debo there. Why not have Omar Cooper Jr. as well step in and take over that kind of spot? And when you look at the receiver core, like, I still like Ricky Pearsall. He's dealt with injuries. Mm-hmm. Mike Evans is coming over. He's very old. He's on the end of his career. He's, what, 33, I believe, this year? And he's dealt with injuries. Is he going to make it through the season? So I think they still need someone else in that receiver core. We expect Brandon Ayuk's going to be gone. George Kittle going to be 33 this year, and he's coming back from an Achilles tear. Juwan Jennings is still on the free agent market. Maybe he comes back, but it doesn't seem like it. Kendrick Bourne, who was one of their depth guys last year, he's in Arizona now. So there's a need for that receiver room. And I think Omar Cooper Jr. would be amazing if he ends up with the 49ers.
I like it a lot. You know, Christian Kirk, obviously, is their starting slot receiver. I think you can upgrade there. Nice depth piece, but you don't want to just be relying on Christian Kirk for a full 17-game season. Cooper's yards after catch skills would just be a complete smash in this offense. Obviously, he would give them a real big threat there. Like, Mike Evans, not a yards after catch guy. Ricky Pearsall, not a yards after catch guy. He would be awesome there. They would know how to deploy a player like this. I think Kyle Shanahan would be super excited to get his hands on Omar Cooper Jr. And I would be really excited to draft him in fantasy.
He might not be there, though, right? They're picking 27th. Like, I've seen some people mocking him like in the middle of the first round, which would have been shocking at the start of this process. I don't know if it's realistic that he's going to go there, if people are just that excited about him, because that was one of the sad things for me. When I first watched his tape, I was so excited, and then I realized pretty much everybody in the industry is pretty excited about him. I don't know if we're kind of steaming him up or if the NFL actually views him that way, but if he makes it to the 49ers, I think it would be a great landing spot.
think there are teams that really like him, but it's just with these wide receivers, with all these wide receivers, like there's just a range, like outside of the top three, which consensus wise is Lemon, Tate, Tyson. I have Concepcion as my wide receiver too, but I don't think that's like a consensus opinion. But I think those top three guys, like they're going to go in the first round. I do think there's a chance that one of the three, maybe even two of the three, if teams just are looking at other positions between Cooper, Boston, Concepcion, which is kind of the next tier consensus wise. And I do think that the thing is, the reason I ultimately think this won't happen in terms of these guys falling out of the first round is that I think there's a drop to the next guy. Like I think there's a big drop off from 6 to 7 at the wide receiver ranks. So that's why I think they end up going in the first round. But there's just a chance, like positional squeeze wise, teams look at the depth of the position, that these guys fall to the second round and ultimately could fall to the late first round. Like a guy like Cooper could be available for San Francisco. So I do think it is possible.
Last I checked, I believe the over under in terms of what pick he could go at is 23.5. And the team that you have him going to is picking at 23. So there you go. That's where they're setting it at. Will he go to them or not?
Yeah, I have Omar Cooper Jr. going to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles like Omar Cooper Jr. I think it's pretty easy to see why he would be a natural fit in the type of offense that they are trying to install this year, which will be more of the background that Sean Mannion comes from Green Bay, obviously that offensive ecosystem. Like, I think that they're going to look for more just layup targets in this offense. They're going to look for more, you know, and obviously it'll be an adjustment for Jalen Hurts, but they're going to look for more crosses. They're going to look for stuff like where we can just spit the ball out to somebody. He can do the yards after catch work, which I love Devonta Smith. And I think Devonta Smith is going to have an awesome year when AJ Brown is not on the roster in June. That being said, he's not a yards after catch player. He's a separator. He's going to win on the big boy routes down the field. So you can use Cooper then as your Z, as your slot. Like they have Hollywood Brown. They have Dontavian Wicks. They have Elijah Moore. Like they have guys who can rotate with Cooper as that Z slot player. Like a three receiver set of Devonta Smith, Omar Cooper Jr., who again, I know the Eagles like, and Dontavian Wicks. There's that would look pretty good. Like that would be a perfectly fine replacement with AJ Brown not on the roster.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It just comes down to, and you briefly touched on it there, can they kind of convince Jalen Hurts to throw those routes a little more? Will they be able to kind of get that out of him or not? And that's something we're gonna have to see this season.
The good thing is, I think Cooper, as I talked about with him on the show earlier this month, he's really good on those routes that break towards the sideline as well. So even if Jalen Hurts doesn't want to throw over the middle of the field, he can still run some of those outcuts, Ken Omar Cooper Jr., and we can work outside the numbers there with Jalen Hurts. Indiana wide receivers, we're going to stick on that here with our next player, Elijah Surratt. You have him going to a landing spot that Dane Brugler sent him to, so you're in good company here for Elijah Surratt.
I did not know that, but you mentioned the Indiana aspect, so we are keeping that connection alive, and we are sending him to the
Raiders.
Thanks
for watching Mock Draft Monday.
There you go. He would get to stick with. I don't see them all, Harmon. I don't see them all. We are busy this time of year.
Dude, I'm kidding. I would be weird if you were watching the show. That's fine.
Let's keep him though with Fernando Mendoza, right? Let's keep him with his quarterback. I think sometimes that can help when players are coming out of college to have that other player that you're stepping into an offense with, that familiar face. They would get to work together. The Raiders have a second, a third, they have 3/4. They got a lot of picks in the range where he could potentially go. And man, this is just such an obvious area of need, right? And I don't want to pick on that Raiders receiver room again because we've done it before, but Trey Tucker, Jalen Naylor's the big addition this offseason, Jack Besh, like they just don't have guys that you feel great about being someone who can win, who you can have confidence in late in a game, who can, you know, it's such an area of need, and they're not going to have the picks to do it early, so they're going to have to get somebody out of this range, and I think this just makes a ton of sense going out, getting a player like him to pair with his college quarterback and hope that you can get the most out of him because of that.
I obviously would like this a lot just from the Fernando Mendoza aspect of it. There's a clear proof of concept. Like if Elijah Surratt is going to work in the NFL as an outside receiver, which I think he should kick into the slot and be one of these outside receiver to slot receiver, like big slot converts. But if he's going to work on the outside, he's going to need to work with a quarterback who has extremely good ball placement, is willing to throw into tight windows. Well, guess what was happening all last year at Indiana. They had a hyper-accurate quarterback who was throwing into tight windows, putting the ball hyper-accurate on the back shoulder stuff. So there would obviously be some good symmetry there. I just worry that he's like kind of – not worry. I just think he's a little bit of an overlap with guys like Besh and Naylor and even like where Brock Bowers is going to win from like a target deployment standpoint. I send him to Washington. Did Elijah Surratt, because again, if I'm thinking about I want him to go from the inside or go from outside to inside in the NFL, like Washington kind of needs that guy. You have an established X, you have an established vertical threat in Terry McLaurin. Get Elijah Surratt moving pre-snap, get him off the ball, use him as a kind of a big slot in David Blau's offense, which is going to look a lot more like Ben Johnson's offense than what we've seen recently under Cliff Kingsbury in Washington. So like you're looking at names like Luke McCaffrey and Treylon Burks, like, come on, the Washington clearly still needs help at wide receiver. And even if they add Brandon Ayuk, I think this would still be a different type of body than what they already have. They have pick 71 here, which I think is kind of the range that Surratt is going to go in as well. So I think this is a system that would set him up for success in the role that I have imagined for him in the NFL.
Yeah, you're doing the same thing that I did. I was going to mention it when we were talking about Jonah Coleman, and I was putting him on the Commanders. It's like I'm really trying to thread that needle because they don't have a second round pick, because they don't have a fourth round pick. They pick 71, which is third, like you said. They pick 147, which is the fifth round. So we're really looking at that third round and trying to hit on it there. It would, you know, it'd have to be that pick, I think, for either of those guys. But it makes sense. There's a clear need other than Terry McLaurin, and I don't have a ton of confidence that Brandon Ayuk, even if he ends up there, which it really seems like, that he's going to be able to get his career back on track and be anything close to what we saw a few years ago from him. It's very, very difficult to do that when you have essentially multiple seasons now where he hasn't done anything in the NFL. So, yeah, I have a lot of doubts about what he could be, even if he does go to Washington, which seems like where he's wanted to be for the last couple of years.
All right, we've got four more wide receivers here. We're going to rapid fire these ones because they're in the consensus ranks pretty high. I wrote this article. People can read the rest of the wide receiver wish casting landing spots there. But we're going to rapid fire four more. Chris Bell, Chris Brazzle, Jeremy Bernard, Malachi Fields. Talk to me about Chris Bell. Where did you send him? What's your dream landing spot for Chris Bell?
I have him going to the Rams, and I think it also makes a lot of sense from the standpoint that he's coming off that ACL tear, might not do much this year. If he does contribute, it's probably going to be very late in the season, but the Rams don't really need him right away, right? Assuming that Puka's out there and Devontae Adams is healthy, they don't really need another receiver to step up right away. He could spend a year learning behind those guys, getting healthy, and then eventually be that replacement for Devontae Adams, or perhaps be a contributor when the playoffs come around. And I would imagine that the Rams are going to be in that mix when that time comes. So I really think he could be a perfect kind of spot for them where he gets to learn behind two really quality players and then eventually could become something in that offense.
I really like that landing spot from that slow development standpoint where, yeah, you get him by year two. He's the starting X receiver, takes over for Devontae Adams. Not quite the same in Tennessee, which is where I have him going, but they did bring back Calvin Ridley. You can play Alec Iomanner until Chris Bell is ready. And it's like, okay, well, if those guys show well in the first month of the season, we're good. If they don't, okay, now it's time to get Chris Bell integrated. And I just think that Tennessee needs help clearly at perimeter receiver, and that is what Chris Bell is. He's a perimeter receiver, and I think from the downfield perspective, him and Cam Ward really fit well together. I think Chris Bell's good on those outside the number targets, outside the number routes. That's really where Cam Ward, I think, wants to throw the football as well. Let's talk Chris Brazzle here. Little bit of a difficult guy to get his draft range down because I think he's going to be all over the place, like for people on their boards. Very risk reward proposition. But where do you have Chris Brazzle going?
I see a little like Christian Watson in his game potentially, and I think that could be a decent spot. Him going to the Packers. I see him as somebody that needs some time for development. So like most of the guys that we're going to talk about the further down we get here, but go to the Packers where they just lost a ton of talent. They lost Romeo Dobbs. They lost Dontayvion Wicks. He could step in there, be the fourth receiver. He's available if there's any injuries that pop up along the way. And we know the receivers have gotten hurt quite a bit in recent seasons and missed a bunch of time. And he's also ready to go because Jaden Reed and Watson, this might be their last year in Green Bay, depending what happens contract-wise, right? So I think he makes a lot of sense going there. How about you?
I send him to New York because I agree with you, developmental vertical receiver. They've been trying to replace Darius Slayton for years, but they can still play Darius Slayton in that role, right? At least for now. And then, hey, Chris Braswell might be ready to go by 2027. I don't think he's ready to contribute early in his NFL career. They also have like Darnell Mooney. They have Calvin Austin to kind of play this year ahead of Chris Braswell, but they certainly do need some wide receiver help for the future. So that's why I have him going here.
And it's a different regime, so they might not be as scared off by the Tennessee Jalen Hyatt connection of it all.
Oh man, that's a good point. I mean, it's a new coaching staff, but Joe Shane's not. That's been so. Nate brought up this point on Football 301, and we both brought it up. It's so funny seeing like Joe Shane's having dinner with Jordan Tyson. Who cares? Joe Shane ain't making those picks. Like, John Harbaugh at the dinner. Okay, otherwise I don't care. All right, Jeremy Bernard, next player that we're talking about here. Where did you send him?
I went with the Browns. This was just sort of a team that needs playmakers. And this was one of those ones where it's just, man, they need a receiver. And I hadn't given them a receiver yet. And I wouldn't be overly excited about the spot, I will admit. But I wouldn't be overly excited about Bernard going many places. I'm just not that into him as a prospect. So I went with the Browns where he could go and I wouldn't have to worry about him that much. But where there would be opportunity for him to potentially get some volume and do something fantasy-wise.
Harsh but fair. I don't think I sent any of the wide receivers to Cleveland in my wish casting article because it's wish casting. Why would I do that? But I did send Jeremy Bernard to Baltimore. I think that's the type of system that would get him some of the deployment that he needs. I think he's probably an off ball, you know, maybe big slot type of option. But I think he's big enough to play on the ball too to allow Zay Flowers to move around. So I think they're going to move those guys all over the place in Baltimore, and just he gives them like a tough physical player that they really haven't had in that room over the last few years. Big slot Z, but can play on the ball as well. Can really play all three receiver positions. I like him as more of a glue guy in the NFL than as a fantasy option. And I think it's kind of like what Baltimore needs. I think they have like a guy that they can throw the ball to a lot in Zay Flowers. My therapist says I'm not allowed to talk about Rashad Bateman, so I won't say that. But I think they do just kind of need more of a glue guy there than someone that can come in and get 150 targets or something like that. Okay, last guy in this section, Malachi Fields. This is the guy I sent to Green Bay, Boone, because I think he just strikes me as a Packers receiver. Big body, decent agility testing, even if his 40-yard dash time was atrocious. I think he would be someone that would benefit by not just playing X receiver, but they do kind of need a big body to take Romeo Doubs' spot as the X in the offense. I'd like to see him be used in a Michael Pittman-type fashion on crossers and stuff like that over the middle, be more of a zone beater, but still he would allow them to have an on-ball presence and he can move around as well in that offense. And I just think the Green Bay is, you had him taking Chris Braswell. I think they're a lock to take a big bodied receiver at some point on day two. So I went with Green Bay for Malachi Fields. Where did you send him?
I like that Packers call. For me, I, you know, connected the dots and went with the Eagles, and that would just be the AJ Brown of it all. He seems like it is a matter of time before he's going to be gone and elsewhere. And now they would get a big body guy that they could have potentially use him on the outside. He's a player that I really like, right? Like, and I think we talked about this early on when we discussed the prospects around the combine. When I first watched the receivers, he was someone that really stood out to me. Little Nico Collins, potentially, like a guy that he could develop into in the high end range. And I think, you know, the Eagles are a quality organization that might recognize that and be able to bring him along in a team that has an obvious need at that spot as well.
Yeah, I still had him as like my 10th, 11th receiver, kind of juggling him and a couple other guys there at that spot. So I still really like him too, even if, yeah, he didn't have the I think his where he's going to go, more of like a third round pick, is more appropriate than some of the kind of first round hype he was getting around the scouting combine. But let's change directions here. Let's go to quarterbacks. Fernando Mendoza. There's no point in doing this one from a wish cat. We're sending him to the Raiders because that is where he is going. And guess what? I also think it's a great pick by the Raiders. Mendoza's a really awesome quarterback prospect. I think he's a better quarterback prospect than Cam Ward, who went the first overall pick last year. He doesn't have to start right away. They have Kirk Cousins, Boone. So I'm really excited about Fernando Mendoza. Any reason to temper the optimism about him? Or are you also really excited about him and think he's a very, very worthy first overall pick?
I don't know that he's a worthy first overall pick in the sense that I don't know that most years he would be the 101. But the Clint Kubiak of it all is what makes me pretty excited for fantasy, because he's been getting the most out of his offenses. And I think that's really going to help things. And they've just been making some smart moves to address some areas of need, like the offensive line there, of course. And I would expect, like we talked about a minute ago, that they're going to go out and get some receiver help as well in the draft here and kind of build things up around him. And then also Brock Bowers coming back this year and being healthy. It's going to be a whole different offense, right? Last year came out week one. He played about 50% of the snaps, still put up 100 yards, but got hurt. And then really wasn't himself the rest of the year. He played a couple games, tried to battle through it, missed some time, came back later in the season, had a couple splash games, but he wasn't the same player he was as a rookie. So I think it's going to be huge having him back, having him healthy and being able to contribute the way he did 2 years ago. And that's only going to help Mendoza or perhaps Cousins if Cousins is the one starting early in the season.
Yeah, I think Cousins will start early in the season. I think that could end up being good for Fernando Mendoza. So I'm really excited about him landing with Las Vegas. We also have some unanimous thoughts here about Ty Simpson, as we are both sending him to the Arizona Cardinals. I'm actually going to let you talk about this one, because I've talked about him as a fit for Arizona, I feel like, plenty. I will just say before I toss it to you, this whole thought of like, oh, the Cardinals might take Jeremiah Love at three. They're just so thirsty for someone to trade up. They want to trade down so bad, does Arizona. So they're like, hey, you teams that want to take Jeremiah Love, Commanders, Titans, we might just go ahead and take him. You want to come up here a little bit? You want to trade down? You know, Monty Osborne, he wants to trade down so bad. He is a trade down guy. Did that the year with Paris Johnson, the left tackle, ends up getting the guy he probably would have taken. He wants to do that again. Okay, so that's part of it. The other part, like, they want the Chiefs to try to jump up there for a pass rusher. Oh, hey, Dallas, yeah, you want to come up here for one of these start? They want to trade down so bad. And I think part of that is because they want to get into a more favorable position to take Ty Simpson, because I think the coaching staff likes Ty Simpson. I think he's a good fit in the offense, which is just a little weird. Like, if you think the guy's so good, just take him at three. It would be bad to take him at three, but if you think he's so good, just take him at three. Anyways, Boone, you're sending him to Arizona. I sent him to Arizona. Why are we sending him to the Cardinals?
I mean, there's a lot of smoke that he's going to go there, like you were mentioning. I don't think there's a ton of teams that would take a guy like Simpson and start him early, but the Cardinals are potentially one of those teams, because Jacoby Brissett, he was great for fantasy, but don't mix that up with him being great in real life. He was not necessarily a great real life quarterback for the Cardinals. They need someone else there. And if this is the answer, I don't know that it's going to be the long-term answer. I don't have a ton of faith in any of the quarterbacks in this class other than Mendoza. I think there's a big drop-off there, kind of like there is at running back as well. So I'm not convinced that Simpson's still going to go in the first round. It seems like it, based on all the reports, that he'll be in that back end of the first round somewhere. But to me, the rest of these quarterbacks we're going to talk about here are all sort of day two, day three type guys. Not overly excited from a fantasy perspective about him. But if we're looking, when I get these guys like Bernard, we talked about earlier, I'm not that excited about the player. Now I'm just trying to look for volume, for opportunity. And for Simpson, Arizona's one where he could get there. And based on the level of competition, he might be starting pretty soon if he does get picked by them. So that's why I'm wish casting him to the Cardinals, and really no other reason. Not because I think the ceiling is that high.
Again, I think he'd be a good fit in the offense, and there are some interesting skill position players. I'm excited about LaFleur from an offensive scheme standpoint. So I think this would be a good spot for him to potentially find some success. Garrett Nussmeier, next quarterback up here. Where are you sending Garrett Nussmeier?
To the Rams as maybe the long-term Stafford replacement. And I don't know if we've talked about this on the show. I will give producer Colin a bit of a shout out for this one, because when I did my very first run through of all my rookie quarterback rankings, he pointed out to me that Nussmeier was a little bit too low. And then I went back and looked at it, and he was right. He was too low. I was watching the tape from last year, and he was injured last year. Now, how much is that impacting him last season? It does seem like a bit, but I could see the Rams go out, get him in the middle rounds, have him there learning behind Stafford as a pocket passer type, and a guy that maybe could eventually be the next man up. And if not, just to give them a backup quarterback, because they don't really have a great option behind Stafford. And Stafford's an older quarterback who's had some injury issues. So they need to get someone behind him. Maybe Nussmeier could be that guy.
Nussmeier could be that guy. I sent him to the Pittsburgh Steelers because I actually think he's a guy who probably doesn't have the highest ceiling in the world. Like, I think Ty Simpson has a higher ceiling than Garrett Nussmeier, but I think Nussmeier could be like an acceptable starter or at least a very, very good backup. And I just can't believe like it's April 21st and, you know, it's probably going to be till the, like, through the draft that the Steelers don't know if I just like, they don't have a clear answer from Rodgers. That's the report right now. That's just like complete nonsense, man. Like, you're really doing all this song and dance for the guy who was like the 25th best quarterback in the league last year. Please. What are we doing? So like, just get a guy who, all right, worst comes to worst, like Garrett Nussmeier, third round pick. We can trot him out there and maybe, and I actually think he'd be a good fit in Mike McCarthy's offense. Like, this is the type of offense I'd like to see him in. West Coast, you know, his dad's a former coach, current coach, as well. So I think he'd be, has the smarts to handle the system. And I think he can make the throws as well. So again, this is a bad situation for Pittsburgh, but if you have to start a Garrett Nussmeier third round pick at some point, like, you have him and Will Howard battle it out in some competition, you know, it's a face saving move here. But you have the next guy that we are going to talk about here going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That is Drew Aller. Why are you sending Pittsburgh Drew Aller in this exercise?
It's another one where we're just kind of connecting the dots where there could be an opportunity. And you mentioned it. Rodgers is probably going to come back. He's not the long-term answer. I don't know that he's the short-term answer either, right? Like, he can give them decent quarterback play, but I don't think this team's going anywhere with him under center. Drew Aller is the connection where, you know, there's the in-state sort of thing, local guy, there's some ties that way. It's just a spot where there could potentially be an opportunity. Again, it's not from a talent perspective that I'm that excited about him coming in and winning the job. It's him potentially coming in if the Steelers end up out of the playoff mix or something and they decide to give someone else a shot. Maybe he could have some value there. But I will also say, from a dynasty perspective, I brought this up on the show before, you don't see a lot of quarterbacks taken outside of the first round of the real draft end up having a ton of value. There's always some, and we tend to remember those guys. But normally when a guy doesn't go in the first round, there's a reason for that. And most of the guys that go on day two and day three in terms of quarterbacks don't return a ton of fantasy value other than becoming decent backups where they could get an opportunity if there's an injury. So in deeper super flex leagues, you grab them, you put them on your bench. But I'm not getting overly excited about these guys potentially stepping in and winning a job.
Me neither. And ultimately, that's part of like why I sent Nussmeier to Pittsburgh, because it's just like, hey, third round pick, you start him for a few games this year. If you catch lightning in a bottle, great. If you don't, you just flush the pick. And they have a lot of picks this year, too, by the way. Yeah. They have double digit picks in the draft. Like, just flush it and move on and grab a guy next year. Who cares? And while I do think Drew Aller, he also fits that from a Pittsburgh standpoint, I think he really needs to go to a spot where he can just sit for an, like, he would honestly, if we're dream wish casting, he probably should have gone to the Rams, right? Because like, he could sit an entire year behind Stafford and maybe he's ready to show him something in 2028 or whatever when Stafford retires. However, I did send him to the Jets because I think the Jets are taking a quarterback in 2027, but you know, you at least get like, I don't think Geno Smith starting an entire 17 games. Like, you got to kind of give the fans a little something else to look forward to here. You give him Drew Aller to like, hey, maybe he plays. And if he's terrible, again, you just flush the pick, probably a third, fourth rounder, and you move on and take another guy next year. Who cares? So he goes to the Jets here, and I do think he can at least, if he hits, execute some of the throws that they're going to want out of that offense. But it's a total dart throw at this point. Let's get to the tight ends here and discuss. I'm going to be honest, I think we should just discuss the two guys at the top of the list. I don't think we need to do the other two guys we have here. Really, we're running long. Let's just talk Sadiq and Stowers. So, Kenyon Sadiq, where are you sending him in this wish casting exercise?
I'm sending him to Carolina. And I think the Panthers want more pass catchers. They need more weapons in that offense. They haven't gotten much out of Jatavion Sanders. And I think he could step in where you have a top two in the receiving core of McMillan and Coker, which we very much like. And I think that could be your top two moving forward. And now you get another weapon in Sadiq that you can move around the formation, sort of a mismatch piece. I think he would be very interesting there. And I think there has been some ties, some reports that if he makes it to 19 where they're picking, that they would also be very interested in taking him there. The only question is, will he be available there? Or will another team picking ahead of them take him? And the team that you have is picking ahead of them. So we'll see if he actually does make it to the Panthers.
I do think if Carolina takes him, it makes a lot of sense. I think they need more juice at the tight end position. They took Mitchell Evans in last year's draft, who projects as like a true inline tight end. I think Sadiq is more of that move flex tight end option, and that gives you a really cool kind of 12 personnel package, right? Where Tedrone McMillan is your X, Jalen Coker is your Z, Kenyon Sadiq is your move tight end, Mitchell Evans is your inline tight end, and the Panthers in their run game last year also started involving a lot of like crack toss plays. They got the tight ends on the move as blockers. That to me is how Sadiq needs to be used as a blocker. So I think this would be a good landing spot for him. I don't know if it's the most exciting immediate fantasy upside landing spot, but I think long term, it's the type of offense in Carolina that he would really need to be in and kind of grow and develop. And they do need more of a long-term solution at tight end there. I also don't think, by the way, that my wish casting spot for Sadiq Baltimore is all that great from like a year one fantasy impact. He would kind of just slide into Isaiah Likely's old target tree. At the same time, Boone, I think again, an offense under Declan Doyle, it's going to look a lot like what they ran in Chicago. That's my understanding of it. It's the type of offense that you are going to get the type of blocks that Sadiq, I think, again, slicing across the formation, being used on the move as a blocker. It's going to be better for his long-term NFL success if he goes there, I think, than a team that might ask him to do more as a receiver right away. So I don't think this is an exciting fantasy year one landing spot, but it might be good for him to become the type of player he could be by year three or year four.
Yeah, and remember, right, they lost Likely. They lost Charlie Kohler. Like, there is a big need there. They have Durham Smythe, who they brought in, but there is a need there. They're going to want somebody else. I think they're certainly going to draft, especially with all the picks that we talked about before. I think they're definitely going to draft a tight end. Whether it's this early, I don't know if I'm totally convinced about that, but they're certainly in play for Sadiq. And he's somebody that I've seen people talk about, like how he's like a little bit undersized, but like Harold Fannin Jr. last year was undersized, like 6'3", 241. Yeah. He could come in and still make an impact right away. This is not like old school NFL. This is a guy who can be a weapon in the passing game right away, can make contested catches. In college, he was, you know, catching balls, fighting off two guys, fighting off three guys, still coming down with it in the end zone. So I'm not concerned about that. I think he's going to be a really good player, but I don't think he's the elite type prospect like we've seen some guys that have come out recently, like a Colston Loveland, like Ty Warren, even.
I agree.
I think he's a step below those guys, but he could still be really good for fantasy.
I agree with that. Last tight end that we're going to talk about here, and obviously Nate coined him a tight end in name only on our tight end preview show. That is Eli Stowers here. And we both have him going to the same landing spot. It is the Denver Broncos. This feels so chalky that like either is definitely going to happen or it's absolutely not going to happen and there's no shot. I really tried to find another spot for him, Boone, but I just couldn't come up with one I thought was better than Denver. Like, he's going to be a unique player. He's going to be a different type of dude. And like we've seen Sean Payton many, many years ago take Marcus Colston, who once upon a time was listed as a tight end in Yahoo Fantasy when I was probably like in high school or something like that. I don't know. So it's a long time ago that he was with Marcus Colston, who was essentially tight end, a big slot convert. And yet, what do we think? Could this potentially happen for Eli Stowers?
It could. If we're looking at it from like a real life standpoint, you know, they might have to move up a little bit in round two if they're going to get him. I feel like he might go maybe just before them. Perhaps he could fall. There was some talk that he could be like a late first round pick at one point. I feel like it makes more sense that he would be a second round pick. But yeah, Evan Engram is not the answer. People were getting excited about him for fantasy last year. No dice. Adam Trautman, nope, nothing going on there for fantasy. So yeah, this would be another good addition to a quality offense. It would push Bo Nix up another spot or two in the quarterback fantasy rankings. And yeah, I think Stowers would have an opportunity to come out and do something right away in this offense, because now you're talking about like the Broncos would be a Super Bowl big, like, I mean, how high up would we push the odds for them to potentially be one of the Super Bowl favorites? If they add him to their offense after getting Jalen Waddle this offseason, like, things could be very exciting. This could be an offense that we definitely want to invest in for fantasy this year.
Oh, it could be like a critical mass in terms of guys that could get targets on that team too if we add Eli Stowers to the mix. It's a lot of names on that Denver Broncos offense. But hey, like I said, it's a team that doesn't have a ton of needs. They returned a lot of their guys on defense, returned a lot of their guys on the offensive line as well. So it just makes sense when we're looking at it. Like, they might take some of these like running backs, tight ends, like luxury-ish positions, because it's just kind of, it is a little more pop, you know, on offense. They just need a little bit more pop in addition to the Jaylen Waddle trade. This show had a ton of pop today, as did our entire pre-draft coverage. Boone, I'm glad we finally got to talk about all these prospects, because we are soon going to learn where they're actually going to play. Not just our little wish casting. We'll see how many of these we get right. Probably none of them. But we'll see how many of these we get correct. You know, we will finally know some landing spots, and we'll be able to do some really good post-draft rookie content. I'm very excited to see where you ultimately end up ranking some of these guys. So great show today. Appreciate you doing it.
Yeah, appreciate you too, man. And yeah, what, Saturday we're going to get a chance to talk about this when the draft's all wrapped up. It'll be you and I going over the picks and what it means and all the fantasy outlooks moving forward. Can't wait.
That is correct. Boone and I will get back together on Saturday to recap everything that we've seen from the NFL draft. But before then, there is a ton of content for you to consume. Like I said, at the top, mentioned it, we have our live draft shows here at Yahoo Sports on Thursday and Friday night. That's going to be electric. Check those out on YouTube. I hope you're watching with us live. If you're not, I am going to be personally offended. So I expect to see each and every one of you there on Thursday and Friday night for day one and day two of the NFL draft. I'll be reacting live in the moment with the guys to all of these picks. Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a little fantasy insight I give out along the way. But for the podcast feed, we got plenty of content coming for you as well. When you wake up on Friday morning, there's going to be a special crossover edition of Football 301 and the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. It's going to hit the feed after we recap that thing at night one. We're going to be super late, man. Drafts on the East Coast. I'm used to being in LA for these drafts. You mean in New York City? I'm going to need some caffeine. Okay. Let's just get that on the record right now. Then we're going to come back on Saturday at 6 p.m. As Boone mentioned, we're going to be back with a live recap as we identify the biggest fantasy winners and losers from, and we're just going to be doing winners. Okay. All positive on this feed. Biggest fantasy winners from the entire NFL draft. That's going to be live, as I mentioned, 6 p.m. Eastern on our YouTube channel. Until then, we are out.